Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, episode 101 of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Center with Celeste Hackett. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, Cal. I'm doing fine. I'm working on my next article for the winter series there on the website, your website at hypnosiscenter.com. And, playing with press releases, trying to get better at them. I'm also doing Constant Contact. I'm trying to learn how to do newsletters, plus a lot of sessions. What have you been up to?
I'm trying to not get a sunburn. It's so beautiful out here in California. You know, everyone knows I start off in Minnesota, and it's been in the 80s all week. And this week I'm teaching a class, and I'm just having a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, you better stop that bragging, because some of those northerners you used to hang out with are going to send you a snowball in the mail.
Hey, I want to congratulate somebody for making the cover of the journal, John Weir. He's a up-and-coming young hypnotherapist, and he's got an interview in there. I encourage everybody who's not already members of the NGH to do so. One of the great things is, in addition to all the other benefits, you get a quarterly journal, and there's also the hypnogram. And let's see, my latest article in here is Working with Your Client's Laundry List for Success. And one of the things people sometimes make a mistake about, I don't want to go into this too much detail, but your clients come in with a laundry list and what you do with it. And I really talk about how to get the maximum success for your clients and also how to help them move through that laundry list in subsequent meetings to get the most out of it that way too. All right, Celeste, I hear you've got a new topic for us.
Yeah, I do. I was also looking at this great issue of the Journal of Hypnotism. John Weir is such a young guy. It's nice to see young people getting into the profession. Now I'm sounding really old. Yeah, I got a topic today that I'm hoping will be helpful to people, because we often get the question, you know, how do I best work with my family members? And recently, I've worked with a niece that came to live with me, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and maybe give you some ideas on how to best work with family members. You know, a few podcasts ago, Cal, I kind of misspoke, and I want to make sure that I clear that up in this podcast. I said I had been working with my niece, and that she carried several diagnoses from a therapist, and that I'd been working with her, and I made the mistake of saying, and she had gotten over or cleared up everything that the therapist had been working on. Well, I can't say that, because I'm not a psychiatrist or a therapist. You know, she has these diagnoses, so I don't know if she's gotten over. That's their thing, you know? So what did I mean to say? Well, from a standpoint of someone who lives with her now and who's known her all her life, she's overcome issues that she's had for a really, really long time. Issues that family members had been trying to help her with by talking to her, taking things from her, giving her incentives, such as gifts or money, sometimes punishing her, and in some cases, some people in the family even yelled at her and unfortunately even belittled her. And of course, none of these things worked, or they'd work for a little while and they wouldn't work anymore. And, you know, I actually never did hypnosis with her, but I used techniques in the waking state, and she was probably in hypnosis sometimes, but I never tested her. And one of the reasons why I didn't do that was because I never got a referral. Now, I could have worked on some things that she wasn't under the care of a doctor or mental health professional for, but I just wanted to be really careful. And so I never really worked on her when she was, I never did a formal hypnosis session with her. I just used hypnotic technique. And this case with my niece seems to be indicative of what you often say, Cal, which is people are suggestible in the waking state. They're just more suggestible when they're in hypnosis. Any comments so far?
Boy, you talk fast.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
No, I think you're right on. People are suggest. This is what people forget about. Hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. Well, by definition, when you're not in hypnosis, you can also be in a state of suggestibility.
Yeah, and people go into hypnosis, you know, off and on. You don't really know sometimes when they're there or not. As a hypnotist, sometimes you can get some clues and some ideas by behavior and stuff like that, but you really don't know unless you test. And so why this podcast? Well, the question comes up a lot, like I said, and I have gained a little experience working with my niece. I'll call her Christy. who came to live with us. Now, Christy was born with cerebral palsy. Some people call it cerebral palsy, but she was born with that. And her parents divorced when she was just a baby. So I'd like to give a little bit of background information so you'll know where I'm coming from with working with family members from my standpoint, my point of view. She spent a lot of time with my mom, her grandmother, growing up, probably about 14 years, mainly living with my mom from her birth. And during that time, her mom, my sister, would kind of come and go a little bit. And her mom, we were from central Louisiana. We grew up in central Louisiana. And her mother moved to New Orleans without her daughter, my niece, to try to get a better life. Because the town that we grew up in, there wasn't a lot of work there and so on, or a lot of opportunity. And so she actually left and went there and eventually married someone there. And told my niece, you know, actually brought my niece to New Orleans. So my niece had this new stepdad. And later the family left due to Katrina. And they lost everything and they ended up in Washington. Well, once there, Christy became more and more mad and sad and complaining about not being treated fairly by her mom and dad. And she came to visit me in July of this past year. And I'm not saying that they did treat her badly. I have no idea. I'm just saying what she complained about, what she was upset about. Well, anyway, once she was here, being of age, she opted to stay and live here with me in Dallas. She does have several diagnoses from mental health professionals. I couldn't work on those things, like I said. Instead, I opted to work on things that we as a family had been trying to help her with for a long, long time. And this was some of the stuff we worked on. Should I take a breather here, Cal? Or you have any comments so far?
Yeah, yeah. You know, let's say, you say, I can't work on those things. Now, the way I understand it is you can't tell a client that I'm going to work on schizophrenia or bipolar or, you know, any other kind of anxiety, mood, or thought disorder that has been diagnosed.
Or like obsessive compulsive disorder or depression or anxiety. And so that's right. I didn't work on those things. What I did work on was skin picking.
Okay, that's exactly where I was going with that, is that you still can work on the behaviors. You can work on what they're thinking and you work on what they're feeling, emotions. And like you're talking about skin picking, hey, you just work on that behavior rather than making a big diagnosis out of it.
As any family member would do anyway. You know, you don't just, if you're someone who's, let's say you have a child in your home, you're not a doctor, but if they're wetting the bed, you're trying to come up with ways and means to help them, right, Cal?
Exactly.
You're trying to motivate them. You're trying to say things that will support and encourage them in the way that they should or would best behave or would best be to their benefit in behaving. You know what I mean? Anyway, so one of the things we worked on was skin picking. When she first came to us, she had a big hand from a sore that she couldn't keep away from. At one point, back when she was in Washington, it had even swollen up to baseball size. And this had been an issue for her since she was 12 years old. She's 20 now, or 19 by the time I started working with her. And she had a birthday since then. And another thing we worked on was she had some issues with bathroom accidents of both urinary and bowel variety. So that was, you know, a big thing that we needed to overcome. And she also had problems just talking, and thinking about several celebrities, in particular Johnny Depp, Michael Jackson, and some other ones that she really, really loved. And it, in the past, it's gotten to the point where it's just crazy, just, you know, talk like, what do you think our babies would look like? Do you think I'll ever marry them? And then the same question again and again. And the other thing that we worked on was her taking initiative and taking care of herself, because there's a lot of things she could do on her own, but she just would wait to be told. And I think a lot of this may have come from her environment before, you know, where she wasn't really sure what she was going to do or what the consequences were. At least that's what I kind of gathered from her. And so the things that she needed to go and do on her own was get up and take a shower, go to the bathroom every 2 hours to help with those bathroom accidents, take her meds on her own, make her bed, clean her room, room, just things that you need to do. She has cerebral palsy, so she does need to stretch every day and exercise. So that was really important, too. Her stepdad had told me at one point that she had problems with being not being truthful, and ongoing outbursts of anger, resentment, sadness, tears, that kind of stuff. She had a lot of up and down with the anger, resentment, sadness, and fear. And so we worked on all this stuff. This was from, July. This little person came into my life, and I was like, wow, help me, God. because there was a lot to do here. And so that's how the whole thing started, and that's the stuff that we started working on. And I'll pause and let you comment or ask a question, Cal.
Well, good. I think you've given us a really good background and history, and I'm interested to hear about how you approached it.
Okay. My main thing was I really wanted to see what would just happen if she had a supportive environment where she could express herself without anyone telling her to go to her room and that she was wrong or bad, and let her get out her feelings. So I taught her the secret language of feelings. I had her watch the video, and when she felt bad, I had her, allowed her and encouraged her to express herself. This is no small thing with any person in our families. If there's someone in your family, husband, wife, someone that you're living with, or someone outside of the family that's a family member, but comes, you've got to instill in the home that there's got to be freedom of expression. And so that, and just that it's okay to have your feelings. Well, and you're not going to get in any trouble if you do. And that was, I had to create that. And then just by what I said, that's okay, get that out. You're going to feel a whole lot better when you get that out. Just go ahead and let it out. Sometimes one of the things that I would do when she would cry or she would get mad is I might just put a pillow in her lap and let her hit the pillow and talk and just get her to talk. And that worked very well.
And just so everyone who's watching knows that you can get more information about the Secret Language of Feelings at thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com website. And I actually have a number of podcasts there that you can listen to and learn all about the Secret Language of Feelings. And Celeste, did you work with her about the cause of anger and the cause of sadness and help her have that kind of vocabulary?
Yes, I did. And of course, with the skin picking, it was really important that she understand the feel bad, distract cycle. And she got it right away. She's very high functioning, really smart. But, it just took it did take a little while. It wasn't like all of a sudden she was better. It took a little while of just reinforcing that and reminding her to open that book and read it. And we would go over it. And I just kept planting seeds. I would say something like, probably a couple of weeks from now, you're gonna be doing this a whole lot, the skin picking a whole lot less, because you're in a whole nother environment and you're supported and encouraged. I just planted those kind of seeds, and you're probably gonna forget to remember this because you don't like your hands being like this, and nobody does, and just that sort of stuff, just kind of in passing and sort of a throwing it off the back of, just kind of a. It's almost like you're saying it as an aside, like you just know it's going to happen. And that's the kind of attitude I think you really need to take in these situations. You got to just kind of believe it, even when you're like, I wonder if this is going to work. You just kind of have to fake the belief that it's going to work and that things can change. But I think we need to back up a little bit, Cal, because we need to talk about regression. Generally speaking, you shouldn't do regression and other insight generating techniques which uncover the cause of emotional problems with family members and friends. It's best to refer them to someone who's not going to be kind of entering into that dual relationship with them, because people in hypnosis, well, number one, they can lie, and so they might not tell you vital information that you need to know. And if they do, it could kind of change your relationship. And Cal, you want to add anything to that?
Go ahead. Yeah, I think you know that well enough. Go ahead.
Okay. With my niece, when she would get emotional, because a big part of her being on all the meds is that, the people saw that, and my sister was really unhappy with that and her having mood swings and anger. And so, I did put the pillow in her lap and say, hit it. And then I just I did have her just imagine the person she was mad at right there and talk to him and imagine an early time when she felt that way. So we did kind of do something like regression, I guess you could say, but I never tested her for hypnosis, and I just went with whatever she came up with. And we would do it several times a week, just on the fly when the emotions would come up. And we might be talking back and forth and working through different things for 10 minutes, or it might be an hour. Sometimes it was in her bedroom. Sometimes it was on the couch. Sometimes it was in the kitchen, just whenever stuff came up. But the main thing was just her releasing the emotions, you know. But sometimes I'd have her pretend like someone was in front of her that she was mad at so she could talk right to them. And a couple times I did have her pretend that she was them and help her to try to help facilitate some forgiveness there to bring down some of the anger. But here's some things you can do. I want to maybe be a little bit more specific.
Let me say some things before we proceed, okay?
Okay.
All right, now, let me just kind of say some stuff. What we have here is you're talking about a number of different things, and I know people of all different levels are listening to this, and I just want to kind of hash it out here. So one of the things you're talking about, Celeste, is waking suggestion, and keys to waking suggestion are just about the same as there is in direct suggestion. You got to make sure that it is suggestions that they want to receive. Repetition is very important, and these are the things I hear that you're talking about. And also some of the difficulties why it's ill-advised to do hypnotherapy or insight hypnotic work with family members is, like, for example, age regression, is that when you do age regression with family members or anyone that you have a previous existing relationship with that's significant in any way, is there's a fear on the part of the client that embarrassing information that might cause you to judge them negatively might come up. And in the age regression work or parts work or any kind of insight therapy work you're doing or insight work that you're doing hypnotically, they can inhibit that information coming out. And what that will do is weaken the whole process. The other issue, so that's number one, doing hypnosis work or insight work with family members or people you have a relationship with, is they can, because their fear of being judged negatively, important information may not come up. They'll just inhibit it. People in hypnosis can lie and withhold information. And the other thing is if that information does come up, is it can contaminate or negatively influence your current relationship. And that is, if someone, you know, you're working with who is a close family member or a good friend, you go, as you're doing age regression, you find out that, you know, they had a bathroom accident in their pants when they were in the fifth grade, 10 years old, and it was important for that information to come up with regard to their problem. And now, after they've emerged, they've told you this embarrassing thing, and they might avoid you in the future. And that's really why we want to avoid doing this kind of work with family members. Okay, Celeste, back to you.
Right. And so just real quick, some things you can do, because I know I've kind of been all over the place. This has been a little bit difficult for me, maybe because it's a little emotional for me with my niece to kind of get real organized about it. But let's give you some specific things you can do. Number one, create that accepting environment where feelings and thoughts are allowed to be expressed and encourage that expression. We encouraged her to talk when she was angry or sad, and when the opportunities came up naturally, if we had the time. Luckily, I work from home, you know, so often she was right there. And sometimes we had to wait till later, but, you know, people can wait till later. She was able to. She'd been, you know, holding on to this stuff for a long time. You could use EFT right then and or direct suggestion in that waking state, and as I did, even pillow pounding.
Now, Celeste, I want to find out, so we're about almost 20 minutes into this, right?
Yeah, I still have...
How many things are there on your list that you can do?
There's probably, let me see here, Cal, probably about 12. So, I think we might have to make this into a part two here.
Okay, so maybe you've given a good background. We've talked about why we want to not do insight hypnosis techniques with someone, and then maybe give like your the first three or four things.
Okay.
And then we'll save the rest for next episode. And also, whenever you mention something, you need to explain what it is. Like you say EFT, and I know we'll get a whole bunch of emails, what's EFT? So when you talk about stuff like that, just, you know, give like a two or three sentence definition and a place where they can go to get more information.
Thank you, Cal, because as I said, for some reason, this one's kind of a little bit more difficult for me, I guess, again, because it's my family. But yeah, you could use EFT, like I said, and that's emotional freedom technique. You can find out more about it at mofree.com. You ought to know what direct suggestion is by now. And pillow pounding is simply putting a pillow in someone's lap and having them feel the feeling that they're feeling and hit the pillow and move the energy into the pillow, the energy of that feeling. And it's also very good to have them... What I like to do is, if that feeling could talk, what would it say? Say whatever you need to say to make yourself free of this feeling. And just keep encouraging that until there's no more left or they look like they're more relaxed. Is that a little better?
Perfect. Good. Okay, why don't you give us a couple, one or two more techniques, and we'll have to wrap it up for this episode.
Okay, we already mentioned this one. Teach the secret language of feelings and doing 1, 2, 3 with your feelings. 1, 2, 3 is a process of helping people know the feeling, know the cause of the feeling, and coming up with a satisfying response. Because when you feel bad, there's actually a reason for it, and there is something that you can do to feel better. You can find out more about this at thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. That's correct, right?
Yep.
Okay. And this is really easy. There's also a video that you can get, so you can show your family the video. Every family needs to know about this. I think everybody who's listening needs to have the video, or at least an understanding of the secret language of feelings, because it's going to help you understand your kids, your husband, your wife, and so on. Number three is be a model for working with your feelings and encourage discussion. Let me just back up for a minute. I never have had kids before. I don't have children. Having my niece here, I'm so grateful that I knew how to be a hypnotist. Bringing her into our environment with my husband and me, and we had our own little thing. You know, there was a lot of emotions that came up for us, all of us. And so when my emotions came up, I had to say, you know, I'm feeling kind of mad, and I think this is unfair, and this is why. And you know, I would show her how I would make myself feel better. Either I would do EFT, or I would hit a pillow and get it out, and I would make sure I'd say, this isn't your fault, but this is just the way I'm feeling. I'm going to feel better after I get this out. And, you know, that was very powerful to her, to see that somebody could be mad and she wasn't wrong. It wasn't her fault, that it was my own problem, not hers. And that I was going to be okay in just a few seconds, no big deal, or a few minutes. So you want to be a model for working with your own feelings and encouraging discussion. If I felt sad, I'd say, this makes me sad. Do you know where sadness comes from? And she'd say, loss. And I'd say, that's very good. Yes, it comes from a feeling of loss. What do you think I've lost? You know, and then I would tell her, or I would explain why I felt sad. So anytime I was a little scared, you know, and doing that made it okay for her to have her feelings. And I think right here is a good place to stop. What do you think, Cal?
I think that's great. And also, mention that, you know, when we work with our clients, we show them the video. If they're doing the too much behaviors, eating too much, drinking too much, all that kind of stuff, smoking too much, shopping too much, we show them a video that explains the secret language of feelings, and we also offer them the book if they're a person that likes to read. Okay, wrap it up till next time, Celeste.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for watching. There's a whole bunch more information I want to give you about working with family members. We're going to do it on the next episode. I know you're going to love it. At least I hope you will. And usually we get good comments from these kinds of shows. So see you next time for Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with me, Celeste Hackett. Thanks for tuning in. Also, visit my website at familyfirsthypnosis.com.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Celeste. If you're watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, go there now, because a whole bunch of links and information right down here below the video that's going to help you get more out of these podcasts. Also, go to hypnosis.org. That's where Celeste's articles and articles of other hypnosis pros are being placed every quarter, and our winter quarter is coming up very, very soon. And our hypnosis space, because guess what? We're about to do some really, really new stuff there that I think you're going to really, really like. And so we've kind of been playing low-key, but it's going to pick up and it's going to be exciting. And then if you want to find out how to add income and fatten your income for your hypnosis practice, then email me, Cal Banyan at hypnosiscenter.com, and I'll talk to you on the phone, and we can talk about how to give you more income. And it doesn't cost anything to talk to me about it, and, you know, you'll be better off. Start the year off with more income, and you can lose some weight, too. Thinner in the waist, fatter in the wallet. That's my motto. And that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.